Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. So Jill Biden pretended like everything was fine when her husband had a mental meltdown during the disastrous debate with now President Donald Trump. But inside, she thought something totally different. Here's more from the Mark Cox Show on the Biden cover-up scandal.
She thought Joe was having a stroke when he was on stage debating Trump back in 2024. Now you have Biden suing to block the release of the audio, the transcripts in that special counsel investigation, which we know would then reveal that he clearly was not with it.
You know, I have spoken, Kim, pretty loudly about this because this is just Griff Jenkins' sort of analysis of things. But I remember when we all watched that debate and saw what we saw, and those of us in the news business continued to watch when Jill Biden takes Joe to the watch party and publicly says, "You did such a great job, Joe." And in that moment, you can't help but laugh, but then it's also sad because
yes.
You're like, what in the hell are you doing as the wife? You're the wife. You're the only one that has unfettered access every single day. And in that moment that she's praising him, he's got this completely bewildered look. He has no idea, like, oh, really? I did?
Where am I?
Fantastic. Yeah. So compare that to that prompted Sally Quinn, the wife of the late Ben Bradley, the longtime editor-in-chief of the Washington Post, to write a heartfelt letter published in the Washington Post directly at Jill Biden saying, "Dear Jill Biden, back when my husband Ben Bradley was going through the 50th anniversary of Watergate, he had dementia, he was in mental decline, and they kept, you know, putting him out there, and I watched it, and I knew I am the only one, the wife, to protect him." And it's very touching. You can look it up. Sally Quinn, Washington Post, letter to Jill Biden. And at the end, she said that just before Ben Bradley died, because she stepped in and pulled him out of the public, pulled him off the stage, got him out of there, he died of dementia, but he did tell her, thank you, because he realized that she protected him. And now you've got this, and I apologize, that's a long setup, but now you've got this. Is this a cover-up for her from, like, you know, spousal abuse for political gain? Or is this the truth that you've never, quote, seen it before or since? I don't buy it.
I don't buy it at all.
Someone even pointed out, one of our listeners, we've not really seen much of Joe Biden since then. Then it has to be very strategic because we know he would probably stumble in a speech.
Yeah. He could probably get elected senator down in Texas, don't you think? Maybe.
Nice.
There are points in your life that you will remember like forever. For me, that was when one of those was going way back when the Challenger shuttle blew up, right? And when Ronald Reagan got shot. I those are moments that froze in time for me. You remember where you were and what you were doing at the time. Another one that's going to be that way for many of us is going to be the presidential debate in 2024 between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, when it became so painfully obvious to America what most of us in conservative media had been ranting about for 3.5 years, that Joe Biden was a walking dementia patient. It's what he was. They hid him from the media. The media completely complied with all the lies the White House would tell them. They didn't ask any hard questions. And afterwards, they wrote books complaining about the media not asking hard questions. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, the level of complicity that took place in that situation. It was pathetic. And you look at what happened on that stage that day. Joe Biden had no idea where the hell he was. And Donald Trump's like, he didn't want to make fun of him, but he's like, I don't think he even knows what he just said. Remember that bite? Well, they finally got back to Jill Biden and asked her a few questions about how exactly that whole thing went down. And this is, you're about to hear from, the most dishonest human being in America. She would do anything to try to protect her husband's legacy. Here's part of it on the CBS News Sunday morning with Rita Braver. Listen.
Were you horrified as you saw it unfold?
I wasn't horrified. I was frightened because I had never, ever seen Joe like that before or since. Never.
Or since.
Yes. Or
You've
since.
Never seen him like
never.
That?
Never. No.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. I mean, as I watched it, I thought, oh, my God, he's having a stroke. And it scared me to death.
What do you think?
We were all talking about that. And we did see little snippets of him doing that where he'd be at a press conference and he would just start trailing off and zoning off. And so maybe it wasn't as blatant as it was there when it was just Trump and Biden on stage. But to say that we had never seen that is not true. Now, as the wife, I can't blame her in the sense of she's going to back her husband. But yeah, I mean, come on. We all saw that, and that's what we were trying to say was a very good reason for why he should not be running again.
Well, I mean, it would be like Elaine Chao. Remember her? She's married to Mitch McConnell. It would be like Elaine Chao coming out and claiming that when her husband suddenly freezes up on camera, which they don't even hardly let him get on camera, but it happened in a hearing the other day. Somebody had to, he tried to end the hearing before it was supposed to be ended. Somebody had to come up and whisper in his ear, it's not time to end it yet. He had no idea where he was. It would be like her looking into the camera and claiming, I've never seen Mitch like that before. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what was going on. I was frightened. Well, you know what? America should be frightened. Why would Rita Braver, who was probably at Hunter Biden's second wedding or what? I mean, all of these people are so intertwined in the mainstream media with these raging leftists like the Bidens and others. They don't even ask hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dr. Jill, come on. Everybody could see it.
If I saw Donald Trump starting to do that, which that dude is like the Energizer Bunny
and
is as sharp as a tack right now at almost 80. But if I saw him start to do that and deteriorate, that's a kind of a harsh word, but deteriorate mentally like Joe Biden was in front of us, I would vouch that Trump should not be president anymore. No one. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you align with all my values. You should not be president of the United States if you are struggling that much physically and mentally. That is a threat to the United States. It's a threat to the other countries around the world. That he should never have been allowed to run the country. And the fact that the Democratic Party thought that it was still worth it for him to run, that really cost them. I believe it cost them trust in the American people because they realize that they are so desperate for power that they're willing to put that guy up just to try to beat Donald Trump.
It should have. It did. I think you're absolutely right. But why would you people just walk around and pretend like, hey, the emperor has no clothes? Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you do that? Why would you put that on?
Isn't that sad how desperate people are for power?
Well,
here's more on Biden from Annie Fry.
Hans von Spakovsky with us, former FEC commissioner and Advancing American Freedom senior legal fellow. I want to shift to another story here regarding President Biden's back in the news headlines. Fox News is updating saying President Donald Trump has lashed out at former President Joe Biden late Tuesday after his predecessor sued the Justice Department to block the release of audio recordings and transcripts tied to the special counsel investigation into his handling of classified documents. Can you bring us into frame and focus here? What is Joe Biden trying to protect himself from being revealed? And the follow-up would be, does he have a chance at being able to keep these from public view?
Well, remember, there was a special counsel that investigated Joe Biden for the mishandling of classified documents, which it turned out they found stored at his house in his garage, clearly in violation of the law. But the special counsel had 70 hours, apparently, of interviews, including interviews with the president. And that's what they're trying to prevent the release of. Now, folks will recall that the special counsel concluded that, yeah, the president probably violated the law in mishandling these classified documents, but he recommended not going forward with the prosecution because he would come across to the jury as an elderly old man with memory problems.
The president of the United States at the time.
Right.
Yes.
So they tried 2 years ago claiming executive privilege. But the new president, President Trump, quickly said, I'm waiving executive privilege. And he did that based on Joe Biden's example. When Trump tried to claim executive privilege, when he was being investigated by the Justice Department, when Biden was in control, the Biden White House immediately waived it. So in essence, they did to Joe Biden what Biden had gone to Trump. The latest lawsuit claims, if you can believe this, that these were private conversations and therefore he has a right to privacy, which is got to be one of the nuttiest claims I've heard, that you have a right to privacy over an investigative report that was part of a Justice Department investigation. I think this is a sign of the desperation of Joe Biden and his lawyers. And boy, these tapes really must be embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of wondering, other than his legacy, what are they looking to protect? Do you feel as though these tapes could reveal, okay, yes, he's going to, what was it, a well-meaning, feeble old man or something like that, that Mr. Hearst said, that it's not just about Joe Biden. It's not just about protecting whatever legacy he feels as though he currently has. Does this potentially, these tapes potentially expose deeper corruption than just maybe Joe Biden's inability to communicate and articulate himself?
Oh, I think this is not only about his historical legacy, because they're afraid it will reveal that he was, frankly, mentally incompetent while he was the president. But it also would raise even more questions, actually provide support to the claims of many that he was not making decisions in the White House. You'll recall that lots of concerns were raised about the mass pardons he signed, which he didn't really sign, but apparently they used an auto pen and it was just aides to the president who were deciding whether to issue that. 70 hours worth of tapes showing him perhaps not competent mentally while he was president would give great credence to those kind of claims.
Do you believe that exposure and sunlight on this particular moment in history is necessary to ensure that something like this doesn't occur once again?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's very much required. I think the American people, the public, have a right to know whether the individual who was governing the country for 4 years was actually, towards the end, perhaps not mentally competent to be president, and whether the people working for him covered that up and were making decisions that only the president is entitled to make.
Yeah, president by committee is not part of the constitutional democratic republic that we live under. I want to shift gears real quick with you, Hans von Spakovsky. One more story that I want to highlight. There's so many of these things that are bubbling up here today, and it involves E. Jean Carroll. People might remember E. Jean Carroll and that massive payout that President Trump was going to have to provide her after losing the lawsuit. I'm reading from a Fox61.com article from Washington. The Department of Justice launched a criminal investigation into E. Jean Carroll, the former magazine writer who accused President Donald Trump of sexual assault, multiple media outlets reported Wednesday. Carroll previously filed lawsuits against Trump, which accused him of sexually abusing and defaming her. She won $83 million in the defamation case in September of 2025 and $5 million in May of 2023 for the sexual abuse suit. So now the DOJ is investigating her, criminally investigating her. What are they looking into? And does this look like retribution to you?
Well, according to the news reports, what they are investigating is possible perjury. In other words, that she lied under oath over what happened. Is it possible retribution? I don't know the answer to that. It depends on what evidence do they have that make it justifiable to open up an investigation. In other words, what evidence do they have that she may have committed perjury? And that, I don't know, because they haven't released that information.
Tara Servatius has more on what Donald Trump believes is a Biden scandal.
Blowing fraud. A couple months ago on the Joe Rogan podcast, it's 3 months almost now, Elon Musk was asked by Joe Rogan, no, Doge was awesome. Why did Trump disband that? And he said, no, he didn't. They're still working in the background. I went, that's interesting. Well, we're seeing the fruits of that now with Scott Bessent coming out yesterday, our Treasury Secretary, and saying that it's easily $500 billion worth of fraud.
The GAO numbers, not my numbers, believe that there's about $500 billion a year of fraud. So could we very quickly get $250 billion of that? That would reduce the deficit substantially.
Wow. Stephen Miller said if we, and this was yesterday, 2 days ago now, played it yesterday, if we, you know, if we just remove everyone from the welfare rolls and all of the grant programs, Lee, that legally can't get these grants, can't get these pass, can't get these food stamps, he says he thinks we could balance the budget. It is. I mean, when you, but then when you look at the sheer scope, every day this week, we have had a mind-numbing, shocking number come out from the Trump administration on, you know, on some facet of fraud. Like, this was yesterday's, for instance. Kelly Loeffler, head of the Small Business Administration.
And so you think about, at the SBA, we found $200 billion in fraudulent PPP loans that the Biden administration tried to hide and forgive and sweep under the rug. We've turned the first $22 billion of that over to Treasury for collections and to DOJ for prosecution. Our Inspector General is already announcing that people are going to jail. There are jail sentences now being served. We've announced that 140,000 people have been barred from ever getting SBA loans again, defrauding the government for about $9 billion. So we are going to continue our work under the great leadership of Vice President Vance and appreciate the partnership because it's really accelerated our ability to get the job done.
$200 billion right out the door. Shouldn't have been.
Yep.
Loans, fraud, out it goes. That was yesterday. On Monday, we learned that the fraud total since 2003 is at least $3 trillion, but they think it's going to go a lot higher. That was in the New York Post. $3 trillion. With a lot of it during the Biden era, what Biden left was in that, you know, final fiscal year of his $186 billion in welfare overpayments. They call it overpayment. It's fraud. It's people who either legally can't get it or they're illegal immigrants. Or somebody's dead and we're just still paying out to who knows who we're paying out to. So that's been this week. Every day has been a stunning number. But this one, Lee, New York Post yesterday broke yesterday afternoon. The Trump White House's budget office is tightening a rule for the distribution of up to $1 trillion in federal grant making authority. Okay, this is the this is separate from the other $3 trillion worth of welfare fraud, which dramatically accelerated during the Biden administration because they took the fraud controls off. Okay, this is a different $1 trillion. The Trump White House's budget office is tightening a rule for the distribution of up to $1 trillion in federal grant making authority. What kind of grants? Listen to this. These all originated in the Biden administration. 190,000 grants under the Biden administration put in place in the final year in office. 190,000, many of them totaling multi-millions. Well, who were we giving them to? That's the punchline. We don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, they know. The Democrats know. One of the big problems that they had with this is that the Trump administration is now going back through every one of them and running E-Verify on the people who got them. Because a lot of them are illegal immigrants, or they're people who overstayed their visas, or they're people who are not legally eligible to get the grants. The Biden administration didn't even check. It gets worse. These 190,000 grants that the Biden administration made, they last 3, 4, or 5 years. And there's no check to see if you're producing whatever it is you're supposed to be producing. It's just automatic payout. It's like it's automated. Just keeps going. For a certain amount, Lee, this is New York Post, every quarter or every year, that's just an invitation for underperformance and underdelivery, says an OMB official, because you're guaranteed a payment regardless. And there's no system to check that you're delivering. What are a lot of these grants actually doing? DEI, diversity and equity, promoting gender ideology, renewable energy programs. You know how those work for Democrats. They give you money and then nothing ever happens, right? Exactly. Right? You don't get any charging stations. You don't get anything. And they the way they would set it up is nobody to check. It's out the door it goes. And again, questions on, are these people even legally here? And some of them, Lee, aren't even in the country.
Just think about having a job where the heck with working from home, you don't have to do anything.
No.
So that's what this is.
I walked right upstairs after reading this. I was so gobsmacked, but I said to my husband, I was like, we're in the wrong business. Exactly. We need an NGO. We need to get one right now.
Yeah.
We need to start writing checks to Democrats.
Brush up on your grant writing skills.
I'm serious. So again, 190,000 in that last year. Zero accountability, and they're starting with E-Verify, and what they're doing is just trying to turn off each individual grant, and they're going to do it through a variety of ways just to try to claw the money back. Again, it's $1 trillion. Yeah, it boggles the mind. I mean, human history, this kind of spending, period, forget for fraud, just period, is almost incomprehensible. It's like the stars in the sky, you know? I mean, but when you consider it's like so much of it is fraud, and again, 186, you know, billion in fraud on the welfare side. You know, they call it overpayments. It's fraud.
Yes.
As J.D. Vance explained last week, it's on and on and on and on. But the good news is Donald Trump won, and Democrats would be robbing us blind right now, Lee, if we had lost. I mean, just the absolute thievery from the American people until the country just went belly up. And you know what's interesting about this? Let's put it all together. You remember the funding under Biden, their number one priority for a long time, they finally got it, was to more than double the size of the IRS.
Yeah.
86,000 agents, right? And we're always like, why do they want that? Now we know. If you're going to steal like they do, they want to make sure they hoover up every last nickel, you know, in the between the cushions. And remember, they lie. They said, well, we're going to go after millionaires and billionaires. And then Janet Yellen, Biden's Treasury Secretary, admitted, well, we're really targeting the middle class. They started doing things like got to turn over the PayPal receipts for every American, got to turn over the Venmo receipts for every American, got to turn over all of that to the federal government so that they could make sure you middle class people targeting Uber drivers, targeting people who cut hair, nobody could hide any money from them. It's because their greed just grew exponentially during this period, too. They wanted to make sure they could shake down every last one of us. Now, thankfully, Trump came in, and we're not going to do that expansion of the IRS. In fact, they rolled back its activity and then turned around and passed the largest tax cut of our lifetime, which is just extending the Trump's tax cuts, which were going to expire. So we went a totally different direction, and now Americans are getting the largest ever tax return payments they've ever got.
We've talked a lot about the economy under both Joe Biden and Donald Trump, but we haven't talked much about this. Food stamps and the big change under the new administration. Here's Ryan Wiggins.
Good news. 4.3 million Americans have been taken off of SNAP food stamps in the last few months. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has a quote here. I'm going to read it. And this story, if you look it up at all, because a lot of this isn't really making a lot of news. But if you look it up, all the headlines are negative. And they read like this, like there's a Yahoo one that says something about Brooke Rollins. The United States kicks 4.3 million people off of food stamps. Probably the first sentence in it is so that they can starve, something like that. But here's the quote from Brooke Rollins. It says, as of just a couple days ago, we have now moved 4.3 million Americans off of the food stamp program. A lot of that is fraud. A lot of it is people taking the program that shouldn't have been. And a lot of it is just a better economy. We've had wage growth that has outpaced inflation for the first time since early 2021. This is a really big day, so people don't need food stamps. I think that she's probably right in assessing this. Now, you're going to hear the best version of this from the administration. That's always true. But I think that she's probably accurate in saying wage growth really is the key right now because inflation will not stop. Inflation is low, but it has not stopped since Trump took over. And in fact, he never said that it would. He just said he wanted to bring costs down, which he hasn't done. And I guess technically that would be deflation, but that's not happening. And so they're focused, if you listen to Scott Bessent, for instance, they're focused on wage growth. And that is happening, and it is outpacing inflation overall. It's just not sexy. There's nothing that you can really shine a big light on and go, hey, look, we just gave everybody $5,000 or something like that. In fact, the jobs numbers never look good because they're getting rid of so many government employees that, and they're now counted in those numbers. They used to not be. That now it looks bad for the jobs numbers when in fact they're actually adding tons of private sector jobs every month. So anyway, the economic situation in the United States is surprisingly good. The gas prices that we just mentioned are horrendous, and that has to end soon. But overall, things are trending in the right direction, and a lot of people probably have left food stamps because their wages have gone up, and that would make them ineligible. The other thing that she says here is that there's been a lot of fraud and a lot of people taking the program that just shouldn't have been. Well, that kind of is all one category, isn't it? So there's outright fraud, like you're saying you're somebody else and you're getting food stamps. Or there's you kind of claiming your benefits erroneously, saying, oh, I made this much, and you know, or staying on the program too long. That's all part of this, too. And a lot of people do that. The reason that I bring this up is because, A, it's good news, and B, you can never trust the mainstream media. I'm reading this from an article for, called like the Bakersfield Institute, which does fact checks. And you're not going to believe this, but the fact checkers have an agenda. I know, right? It says in this Bakersfield article, the data says fraud is low. So they're challenging Brooke Rollins here and saying that fraud within the SNAP program is small, according to experts. Not nearly enough to account for such a significant drop. And they refer back to, I kid you not, 2023. They say, well, the latest data that's available is from 2023. And that year, only 41,476 people were disqualified from SNAP because of fraud. Yeah, that's the freaking point. That there haven't been enough people disqualified from it who don't qualify for it. And a lot of people stay on it for too long. And now she's saying, we're coming in and cleaning that up. The fact checkers know this, but they want to give you some sort of out if you're on the left for this being a bad thing. Like people working and making money and buying food for themselves, apparently, according to the left, and literally almost every headline you'll find about this story, that's a bad thing. Amazing, isn't it? But that's the philosophy that we live under if you are a Democrat, is that making money and doing things for yourself is bad. You want to do things that the government approves of. And in fact, the government should be your daddy and be your God and provide for all of your needs. Never mind that that would be short-lived, because it can't go on forever. And we're dealing with the ramifications of that right now. Trump administration going in and cleaning this up. That's great news. That's great stuff that's happening behind the scenes that I don't think gets enough attention.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.